Ringer Ananias, man 10.05 Uhr kurz um 13.13 mit dem Kleckern und die Ohren erkundet. Und ich konnte sie nicht sagen, dass man das nicht gibt, warum ich mich nach dem Ananias.
Are you in the middle of a tour, or?
We've been in the midst of a bit of a tour. This is the last date that we'll be doing on this tour. And so far we've played Vancouver a couple of times. We've done some dates in Toronto, Ottawa last night, and now here, Montreal.
Okay. And then back to Toronto?
And then back to Toronto.
Okay. To work on your next album, or?
I'm working on an album called Swagger, which we'll be releasing in the fall. And basically the better part of the album is done, and it's just a question of sort of adding some of the sparkle to it, mixing, and then we'll be releasing it in the fall.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be another tour to launch that, or?
Absolutely, yeah.
In 2003, you released the album E5770, My Mother's Name. The title track is a very, very powerful piece that speaks volumes about Canadian history, about colonization. Again, there's a line in it that speaks much to I guess the Canadian complex of this isn't happening, this isn't my fault.
Now in your future, you wish I was lying.
Well, not I think. For years, Canada was rated as one of the best countries to live in, and over the last few years, we've been losing ratings in terms of where people are best served by their countries through their health systems, through their governments, through I don't know, whatever. And in that song, I wanted to expose the fact that Canada doesn't necessarily have the perfect history that people perceive us to have. The relationship between the Canadian government and the original peoples of this country in so many ways was a really dark relationship, and it's pretty uniform across the board. It doesn't matter which Aboriginal group you speak to, you'll find in some ways similarities in terms of the paternalism that existed back then, the intent to sort of have us breed ourselves out of our Aboriginalness, I guess, for lack of a better word. And in the experience of the title track of my song, Once Upon a Time Until the Early 70s, Inuit names were replaced with numbers. So if you came from the East, you got an E number. If you came from the Western Arctic, you got a W number. And then the numbers were broken down by region and then the individual count. It acted as the first census of Inuit, and part of the intent was to claim sovereignty over the Arctic, but also to steal our children and put them into residential schools, to get us off the land, living the nomadic lifestyle that we had, into organized, institutionalized communities. And then the reasoning that they gave was that Inuit names were too difficult to pronounce. And granted, Inuktitut is not a simple language. It's difficult for anyone who doesn't have the tongue to speak. But it was a lack of care on the part of the government to be bothered, in my opinion. And so I wanted to bring light to the issue, and I wanted to honor my mother And I also wanted to, because it's become sort of, it's become sort of the fad these days amongst Inuit to loud and proud display your E or W number if you have it. There's people who have had their E numbers sewn into their baseball caps. They're having T-shirts made. You know, all kinds of. We've turned it around from being a really negative thing to a positive thing. But it really was cattle branding, and there was a bad spirit in the system, and that's why it took place.
Well, it sounds like what they did to in the Holocaust. It sounds like what Columbus did when he first colonized. It sounds like what the United States and Canada did to immigrants, changing their names so they would be more Anglo-friendly.
Right. And I don't think that Canada has been as bad as the States in implementing all kinds of different policies, but there's no question that I would liken the history of the relationship between Canadian government and all the peoples of this country as being an evil one, and it's just baffling to me that and it's ignorance. And fear, I guess.
It's interesting to me that that a song that deals with such a dark history can be put to such an upbeat tone. We were discussing this earlier that it has sort of carnival atmosphere to it.
A feeling of carnival to it, and the reasoning behind that was because when I think of the relationship that we had with the government way back when, once upon a time, long before I was born, it appears to me as being not much different than the circus, just a bunch of clowns clowning around, doing ridiculous things, and standing behind them. There was an inquiry that was done not that long ago. There was a royal commission that did an inquest into the relocation of Inuit from northern Quebec and Pond Inlet to two communities in the high Arctic where it was uninhabitable. There were, and again, this was a case of trying to assert sovereignty over the Arctic because they were afraid of Greenlanders and Americans overtaking the high Arctic and claiming it as their soil. So they grabbed a bunch of Inuit because Inuit are dispensable, and relocated them into those two places, Resolute Bay and Grease Fjord. And a lot of people died. A lot of people died from the move because they weren't used to the conditions. There was, in the wintertime, 24 hours of darkness. In the summertime, 24 hours of light. They were basically, in the case of Resolute Bay, thrown on a gravel beach. My family was part of this relocation, my grandfather and his family, my mother. They just dumped them off in Resolute Bay and split. And again, because of this, a lot of people died, a lot of people suffered, and things like mail. So if they were receiving mail from their family in northern Quebec, their mail would be destroyed. People were starving because they didn't know how to hunt in those conditions. They came from a land of plenty and were put in a place where the wildlife was completely different, so they're hunting for things that they may not have necessarily eaten before. And of course, they were limited in what they could hunt because they didn't have all the choices that Northern Quebec offered. They were accused of all kinds of things. Women were accused of prostitution because they had an American army base there. So they imposed laws or rules, at least, that Inuit and the army were not allowed to fraternize. Inuit weren't allowed to go digging in their dumps for what seemed like perfectly good food. I guess the Inuit back then considered them to be incredibly wasteful and whatnot, right? So, anyway, that's just another example of what happened in the past. As a result of really gross lawmaking. That was in 1953 and 55. There were two relocations that took place. The good news story to that is that there was a commission put in place that did an inquiry, and the Inuit in both those communities were found to have proper cause for a suit and won the suit. There's children, of course, of the original relocatees who were born in these places and now consider it home, and so why would they want to leave, right? It's just unfortunate for the original people who lived there.
Themes in to my ear in the last two songs in particular as well, the song Freedom and Ayaya. Ayaya seems to be a very there seems to be a lot going on there, almost like it's a stream of consciousness story. Would you mind talking a bit about it?
Sure. Ayaya is actually a style of song that we have. It's a traditional Inuit style of song. That you would play on a big drum or not at all, and that you would sing, and it is very much a story. They're called pisit. And in the case of Ayaya, it was very much a stream of consciousness. I wrote it on a guitar, just on the E string, having the E string liken the sound of the drum. And it's based initially on the suicide of a friend of mine. I don't have any new material that is like that anymore. I used to very much write themes that were related to Inuit in the North and the Northern experience, the contemporary Northern experience, etc. But I've really moved away from that because often the media has made interviews about Inuit issues rather than the music. And so I thought it was important to at least get away from that for now so that it was music-based rather than culture-based. But again, it's really hard to stay away from that. I mean, when it's everything that you are, it can be difficult to stay away from that stuff. But I try as hard as I can not to be political and not to be, you know.
Sorry.
Not your fault. Again, it's really easy for me to go there because it's my life. The next album is completely rock.
Right,
there are no Inuit themes. There's no you'd be incredibly hard pressed. In fact, I would pay the first person who could come to me and find the North in that album. You won't find it.
And is that good for you to put that kind of distance or?
Well, it was a very natural experience. The writing experience was very. There was nothing contrived in terms of how the music itself was written or the lyric. It really was based on my life at the time and what I was living. So it's pretty honest.
Okay. Yeah. And so this new album is coming from Toronto or from the road or from your travels or?
Largely Toronto. It's called Swagger and it's mostly about a broken relationship, but there's love and lust in there too. So a little bit of everything.